faithful people increase, the unfaithful only maintain. So the questions are, if we want to increase, we need to ask the question, what are we going to do? Where are we going to do it? When, who, and how? Those are the practical things of the guys that make things happen. And this is the other word that I want you to remember tonight. The first one was maintaining, and the others are the make it happen guys. All of you know make it happen people. Am I right? Some are better than others. But you may notice in your company or even in church, if you ask a certain person, they're normally the busiest guys. You ask them to do something, it happens. You ask somebody else, it doesn't happen. Church, I'm here to speak to you as leaders and those watching over the TV, that God is calling us tonight and he's saying, church, make it happen. Do whatever you need to do to make the kingdom of God come. The unfaithful people and the followers, I would say, the difference between followers and leaders in the sense is followers are waiting for somebody else to make it happen. But the leaders are the guys who simply stands up and they make it happen. I remember in 1996, Heinrich and I met in 1995 on a mission trip to Malawi. And a few others of us, 17 of us, went there. But the following year, we were going in different directions through another organization, Love Southern Africa. And they said, we must all pray about which countries we're going to with interdenominational teams. And everybody in Shofar didn't know where to go to. We were just praying and waiting. And eventually, 1 month before the deadline to go, they said, listen, the guys of Love Southern Africa, they also need a team leader to go to Malawi. Is there anybody here that's willing to go to Malawi? But there were nobody of us who had experience in leading a team. But immediately I just sat there and said, yes, I'll go, because my radar was on. And when I said, yes, I'll go, immediately everybody else says, okay, I'm going to Malawi, I'm going to Malawi, I'm going to Malawi. Nobody knew where they were going to go until I said, I'll go to Malawi. I'll make it happen. I don't know how I'm going to make it happen. We've got 1 month for the whole mission trip to be planned and to raise money. And we're just students, but I'll make it happen. And it happened. And from there, we built up, I became the missions director the first few years of Shofar. Are you going to make things happen, church? I remember Pastor Fritz sharing with us numerous times how he started the church in Stellenbosch. Considering this ex nihilo principle, this birthing principle, creating life where there's no life. He would be walking the streets of Stellenbosch 2, 3, 4, 5 hours per night. Almost every night, sleeping 2 to 3 hours every night, just praying and praying and praying and praying, interceding for the town of Stellenbosch, interceding for the people there. He would walk past people, he would call people by name and call them into the church, and some of them actually came, and he would be speaking against the powers and principalities and rulers of darkness and the forces of darkness, and he would be fighting as a spiritual warrior through intercession and spiritual warfare every single night. Wonderful things happened, and then people started to come to salvation, and that was how the church was birthed, through much prayer and travail, through pain and suffering in the inner room, in the streets of the town of Stellenbosch. It didn't just fall out of the sky. It didn't just happen. It didn't just get up on a pulpit and started preaching, and then things happened. There were missiles flying through the air, through the Navy and the Air Force, through warfare and intercession. But there was action combined with it. And I want to tell you, church, that if you want to birth something, if you want to get into this place where you say, are you fit to fight, that I'm asking you, can you speak against the demons? Can you chase them out of a room? Are you willing to put up a fight, or are you going to run away? Are you willing to pray on behalf of others? Are you willing to act upon your prayers to be the answer to your own prayers? Are you willing to do that? Because that is what warfare is all about. We're going to watch a short DVD, just a few, 2 minutes or so. And it's a testimony of Reinhard Bonnke, who's probably the biggest evangelist in the world, probably the biggest we've ever seen. And I don't want to spoil the testimony, so are we ready? You can switch off the lights. Let's watch it together.
As God knew each of us from the foundation of the world, He had specific plans and purposes for this week. Even years ago, He knew.
I remember many years ago, Reinhard received a prophecy that he would see 1 million souls saved in a single service.
It is about 20 years ago when the Lord gave me a prophetic word directly saying that the day would come that I will see 1 million souls saved in a single service.
At that time, it seemed unbelievable to us, as we were then overjoyed if we saw just 1,000 saved during a whole crusade.
I was dreaming about it, but it sounded all so unrealistic. Shortly after that, a noted man of God came to me and said that God had spoken to him, I would see 1 million souls saved in a single service. And yet another man of God confirmed it. So I knew this was not just a thought, this was the plan of God.
And it's hard for me now to describe to you the feelings that I had when I saw the count of the decision cards from the final night, when 1,093,745 people received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior.
In that meeting there was one without sin, and his name was Jesus.
Isn't that amazing? 1 million people turned to Christ on one day in a single service live, face to face. Now what happened before that, many years before that, Reinhard was a missionary in Lesotho in the mountains. He was leading about 12 people to Christ per year. And he had this vision of a blood-washed Africa, that God was going to wash the whole of Africa with the blood of Jesus Christ and people would get saved literally by the millions, but he was leading 12 people per year to the Christ. And he was saying, Lord, how am I going to take this church of 30 people or 40 people and reach the whole of the 800 million people in Africa? And Lord, he realized that something needed to change. Somehow, he needed some different way of doing this. And he had to change his thinking. Now, I want to read you a scripture, or you can read it yourself. Proverbs 23 verse 7 says, as a man thinks, so is he. In other words, we need to change the way we think. If we want to do more, we need to think differently. If you're going to think small, you will do small. If you think big, you will do big, or you can do big if you go for it. So he went and he rented a 10,000-seater stadium in the capital of Lesotho. He invited people. Only 200 people came. Well, it was good. From 40 church members to 200, it's not a bad turnout, except there was a whole stadium. But on the first night, one woman who was blind, and everybody knew her, got healed perfectly well, and the testimony started to spread. And the second night, there were about 2,000 people, 5,000 people, and soon the stadium was full, 10,000 people. And that was his first crusade. From there, it was 10,000, then it became 50,000, then 100,000, then 500,000, then 1 million, then 1.6 million people in a single service, because he changed his thinking. He changed the way that he was praying and preparing and acting upon his faith. And church, this is what I want to impart to you. If God can do that for Reinhard, he can do that for you and for me. But we need to change our thinking. We need to change our faith because we are asking for too little. I was sitting in a prayer meeting, and I wanted to show you that clip, but we're running out of time. I went to Sudan in 2001. I visited Reinhard and his team, and we were having devotions. We were praying and just interceding. And you know what was the most amazing thing for me to experience there is the fact that the devotion that he was doing and the way we were interceding was exactly the way we do every Monday morning with Pastor Fred May and the way we pray in Shofar. It's exactly the same thing. They didn't have any magical prayers. There was nothing different to the way they do things than the way we do things. Except for one thing. They asked for more. And because they asked for more, they prepared for more. They stepped out in faith. They trusted God for bigger sound systems. They invited more people. They reached out to more pastors. And therefore, according to your faith, it shall be unto you. If you want to do big, you need to plan big, prepare big, and walk the walk in Jesus' name. Church, I believe the time has come where we need to think no longer in terms of hundreds. The time of hundreds is over. Over. Yes, we lead people to Christ one by one. Andre has a wonderful new slogan, each one reach one. Hallelujah. We must do that. But I remember years ago in church, I was still a student. There was a man who visited the church. I went to him afterwards and I gave him a prophetic word that God gave to him. I said, listen, God says the plans that you have are wonderful. It's from Him, but you're thinking too small. You should not think in terms of 70,000 or 700,000. You must think in terms of 700 million or 7 billion even. His eyes grew big and he said, well, I'm a lawyer and we were just thinking, my partner and I, to start up a property development business. But what you're saying must be from God, because we were thinking in terms of 700,000 and maybe 7 million, but now we'll increase the budget. So 2 years later, he was running a project of 1.8 billion rand. Guys, the word of the Lord is, think bigger, do bigger, plan and prepare for it in Jesus' name. I want to just share with you quickly, and then we're going to pray, five things that we need to make things happen. The first thing is faith. And in faith, there's three things I want to just highlight. The first one is ask. I'm just quickly going to run through the scriptures. I'm not going to read all of them, just in case you're writing down. I want you to just catch them quickly. Psalm 2, verse 7. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. This is the Father speaking to Jesus, the Messiah who was to come but existed even before the earth was there. And he says, I have given to you the nations as your inheritance. This is yours, my son. And we are co-heirs with Christ. So if this is Christ's inheritance and we are his co-heirs, then the nations is ours as well. Amen. In other words, we are not just going to trust God for a few hundred people. We're going to trust God for the nations together. Two is better than one, and the threefolded cord will not be easily broken. One will put 1,000 to flight, and two will put 10,000 to flight. Are we willing to trust God for bigger things? Are we willing to stand up and say, we are willing to take on bigger battles in the name of Jesus so that we can win the nations for Christ? Luke 11 verse 9 says, ask and it will be given unto you. That is the promise that Jesus said. When you ask, you will receive. When you knock, it will be opened unto you. James 4 verse 2 and 3 says, you do not have because you do not ask. And when you ask, you still do not receive because you ask amiss. Guys, we need to ask God and we need to ask that according to his will. In 1 John 5 verse 14. Secondly, we need to also ask in his name, John 14, verse 13. Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that you will receive. And then James 1, verse 6, but let him ask in faith with no doubting. We cannot ask in the name of Jesus if we don't have faith. And then finally, Mark chapter 11, verse 24. Therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Guys, we need to pray as if we have already received it. We need to think as if it's already ours. That's what I'm saying. We need to change our thinking into, we were hoping for one day something to happen. One day when the revival comes. One day when the Spirit of God falls. One day when this is going to happen, then things are going to change. One day will never come. Today is the day we have. It's the time is now. The time is now for the sons and daughters of God to stand up and say, we're going to move in Jesus' name. When it comes to faith, we must ask by faith. Secondly, we must speak by faith. Luke chapter 4 verse 36 and Mark chapter 1 verse 22 speaks of Jesus speaking with faith, speaking with authority. I'm not going to go into all the scriptures. I want to come to the third point is we need to act in faith, to plan in faith and to prepare in faith. And I want to come on to the subject of courage. And yeah, I'm going to stand still for just one moment. Joshua chapter 1, verse 2 to 9. You can go read it there for yourself in the whole of scripture of chapter 1. But God speaks to Joshua and he says, listen, Joshua, I know you're a man of courage. I know you're a man of faith. I know you're a man with a different spirit. Remember God said Joshua and Caleb had a different spirit as opposed to the other 10? And he says to this guy with a different spirit, the man who's already proven himself, he says to him, Joshua, you must be strong and courageous. Then he says, be very strong and courageous. Have I not commanded you be strong and courageous? And this is the word to you, church, tonight. I'm saying to you, God says you must be very strong and courageous. Why did God say that to him? Because he knew he was going to be tested by the wolves. He was going to be tested by the giants. There would be opposition that will come that would even make Joshua fearful and doubtful. And he says, be strong and courageous. Amen. I remember, I'll give you one testimony in this regard. Are you still okay? Can I share with you? I'm running out of time, but I have so much to deliver. When we were in Pochester, and Christelle and I, we were serving in the church. There was a senior pastor. I was assisting him. And, you know, at that stage, the church grew from about 60 to about 120 people in church on a Sunday. And I had a word. I said, why don't you invite Angus Buchan to come to Pochester? Now, that was the year that he had the 7,000 men at this camp. So it was long before the 60,000 and the 300,000. And I said, I feel God is saying we must book out Ullian Park Stadium, 22,000 seater, and we need to invite everybody, all the towns around, make one massive big thing. And the church elders, some of them were really hesitant, you know, because the budget was 450,000 rand for a one-day event. We were 120 people in church, of whom a lot of them were young people. Okay, you're getting the picture. And that was 2007, the year of the Rugby World Cup. And the event was on the World Cup final, by the way, in which South Africa played. So some of the guys are saying, no, that this is not going to happen. You know, we don't have the money, and how are we going to do this? And it's too big for us. And we just one church. You know, where are we going to get enough volunteers and ushers? I mean, if you're going to fill 22,000 seats, you know, you're going to need a lot of ushers. And we've got 120 members. That's it. We don't have the money, nothing. But if you're going to make things happen, you're going to need some courage. You're going to need to stand up and say, yes, but God has said, we must do this, and we're going to do this. And guess what? To cut the story short, we got all the money we needed. More than 1,000 people got saved from 42 different towns, ranging from the age of 13 to 82. Wonderful things happened. But God is looking for people of courage. Men and women of courage who's willing to put their money where their mouth is. Who's willing to make plans to make things happen. Are you those people? Are you ready to make things happen? Are you ready to make the move to move into the next dimension? After courage and together with courage, we need authority. So the first that we needed is we need to start thinking differently. Then we need faith. We need courage. And next we need authority. I've spoken about Luke 10 verse 19, that we have received authority to trample on scorpions and snakes and over all the power of Satan. Now, who of you know Rottweilers? Okay. Who of you are scared of Rottweilers? Okay. Now, if a Rottweiler starts coming in there and he's got rabies and he's got foam dripping from his mouth and he's coming, you know, and he's coming this way, you know, yeah, this way, yeah. Okay. And he's, yeah, on to you. How would you react?
That was good.
Do it for us. Okay. All right. She doesn't want to do it. I'll do it for her. Okay. Is it going to work if she says, go away! Go away! Go away! Is that going to help? You know, there's a rumor people say that the dogs can smell fear. That might be true. But if you say to that Rottweiler, putak! Ait! Get out! and you walk him to the door. You know how dogs are. When you turn around, they come back. We need to have that authority. And the Bible says about Jesus that he spoke as one having authority. That he had everything about him said he was walking in authority, and the faith and authority goes hand in hand. And church, if you're going to be fit to fight, you need to learn to walk in your authority, and I cannot give it to you. I cannot make you walk in authority. Authority is something you have to take up. God has given you authority, but you must exercise that authority. Who if you've had a teacher at school that used to scream, "Keep quiet, keep quiet"? Anybody had a teacher like that? It's normally the teacher where the class is chaos. Am I right? And once the teacher screamed like that, it's like that for the rest of the year. Am I right? And then you have those older ladies. She sits at a desk and she just takes her glasses, moves it on her nose, and she says, "What are you doing?" And then everybody's quiet. Shh. No shouting. Even the first team rugby lock forward, he just sits there. Nothing, teacher. Because there's an authority. Authority does not come from the power of your voice. It doesn't come from how desperate you are. It is something that you have in the inner man where you have taken up the authority that you have in Christ, that you have changed the way you think about yourself. And greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Walk in that authority. Not only in spiritual warfare and in intercession, but in life. When you walk into a business meeting, when you walk into a council, when you're addressing people of influence, walk in authority and you will see amazing things happen. When you go see the city council for a rezoning of a place, whatever it is. After authority, you need to drive as leaders. Drive the vision, drive the vehicle, drive what you need to do. One of the prayers tonight was, God, give us momentum. And God can give you momentum if you're willing to drive and to be faithful and to do the things that creates momentum. Tomorrow, Heinrich is going to speak more about that. What are the things that can help us create momentum? But I remember in Potchefstroom, the church grew 1 year from 60 to, in 2 years to 120. The following year to 350, the following year to 700. There was this massive momentum that was building up. And that is our promise that God is giving us. God is saying to us tonight, church, we need momentum, but for momentum to happen, you need to do the basics right. That's more tomorrow. And finally, I know it's late, stand. Don't stand now, stand. As a leader, Ephesians 6 verse 13. Therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand in your authority. Stand in what God has given you. Can I share one more testimony and then we close? Or maybe two. I remember going to visit Reinhard Bonnke in 2001. The time I spent time with his team. And the first night I arrived, you must remember that was during the time of Bin Laden. And Bin Laden gave an 8-page fax, sent it to all the Christ for All Nations offices and CNN and BBC. "You must stop this crusade or we will destroy you and your organization." Sent it to the president of Sudan. And our lives were in danger. No women were there. There were no visitors. It was just 11 of us, including Reinhard and his whole team, plus the two visitors, myself and another guy, in Khartoum. I arrived there in the middle of the night. You fly in at night. You fly out at night. They don't want spy cameras. It's tense. There's only army at the airport. There's no taxi guys, Mr. So-and-so, you're welcome. None of that. And I got to my hotel room. And as I got to my hotel room, I put my bags down. I was all by myself. And I said, "Spirits in the air, I address you in the name of Jesus. I want you to know that I have come as a son of the Most High God. And whatever powers you have against me and against this crusade, I bind it now in the name of Jesus. Spirit of Islam, I speak to you and I say, I do not fear you. I do not bow to you. I say to you, I have come to withstand you in the name of Jesus. And for about an hour, I was praying in the spirit and I was addressing these spirits of the air until I was satisfied that they have heard me, that I have declared my presence in that city. And then I had peace and I said, amen, in the name of Jesus. And I slept like a baby. And then the next morning and for the next few days, I was driving with a taxi all by myself throughout the city, going to the markets, going to the Nile where the blue and the white Nile comes together. I had total peace, total freedom in the city. Wonderful things were taking place. But then there's a place where you stand. You just make a stand in the spirit. But when you make a stand in the spirit, sometimes you need to make a stand in the natural. And this is where the second story comes in. Went to Malawi that year that I was leading the team as a first-time leader. It was the second time. Went to the most unreached area in Malawi, Makajira. It had 99% Muslims there. Just the year before that, a mission team went there to Malawi to discover which is the most unreached place in all of Malawi. That was it. They got there, the Muslims threw them with stones and with half bricks and full bricks, and they were running for their lives, got into the car and raced away. The very next year, I was there with a girl, with a team, and half of them were girls. We went to the chief. Long story short, I honored him. As Andre said, if you honor people, honor your leaders. We honored the chief. I'm cutting my story short here, and he opened the doors for us. He said, my son will open every meeting for you to make sure that the people don't attack you, that they know you've got my blessing. But as we were there, one night I was challenging the Muslims and I was saying, listen guys, you don't have faith. You don't even believe in Allah. You're just afraid. You're just afraid somebody's going to burn down your house. You're afraid that somebody is going to kill you or that you're going to lose your job. You don't hear the voice of Allah. You don't know if he answers your prayers. In fact, you know that he doesn't answer your prayers. You don't even know if you're going to heaven. But I have a God that I know. I love him. He loves me. I hear him. I hear his voice. I hear his prayers, my prayers are being answered. I have this personal relationship with him. And as I was speaking, all over the crowd, people saying, yes, 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 he's speaking the truth. They were shouting. And as they were doing that, the militia came with the red bandanas and their pangas and their kiris and whatever, about 15 or 20 of them. As they came in to the grounds, people started running. Within a millisecond, they were running. And I said, stop in the name of Jesus. Look how scared you are. See how you're running. See how scared you are. But I am not scared. In the name of Jesus, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Man, and you should have seen the break marks. Shh, people breaking, hiding behind the trees, hiding behind the walls. This is a showdown. Now they're going to see what this little preacher boy of 22-year-old is now going to do. The militia came. I said, look there. I'm not scared of you. Jesus loves you too. I started ministering to them, sharing with them. They smiled, turned around, and walked away. People came out of the shadows, and many hundreds came to the Lord that night. Because somebody made something happen. Because somebody stepped out in faith. Because somebody had boldness and courage. Somebody was walking in authority. And somebody made a stand in the name of Jesus. Question is, what are you going to do?